Mishnah Yom is for Monday, the 18th day of Sivan, Tovshin Pei Dalet. Masechta Gittin, Perek Hei, Mishnah Gimel. Ein Moitzi in Lachilas Peres. We do not take for the take properties that are Mushabodim, as we'll soon see, for Lachilas Peres, to reimburse the eating of the fruits, or L'Shevach Karkois, or to reimburse for improvements made to the land, or for buying provisions, food for the wife of a widow, that is, and the bonus and the girls, that these are the orphans, minchosim mishubadim, from properties that have been sold to others. They have to be, one can only use unencumbered properties, freehold properties, for these payments. Let's explain. Talk about a case where, let's say, Reuven stole a field from Shimon. And then Reuven sells the field to Levi, to a third party, a person. Levi, in good faith, takes hold of this field and he sows it, plants it, spends money on it, and it produces fruits. Let's say the field, he paid $1 million. He spent on the expenses $100,000. Fruits that are worth property are worth $200,000. Comes along Shimon, the owner of the land, and he says to the buyer, "Hey, it's my field. I'm taking it with all the fruits." He can take the fruit, take the land back with the fruits that are on it, and he pays the buyer. He pays Levi the expenses he put in it, $100,000. He put $100,000 expenses. That goes to Levi. He has to reimburse Levi. Meantime, Levi, the buyer of the land, goes back to the scoundrel, he goes back to Reuven, who is the robber, who sold him a stolen land, and he says, "You pay me back $1 million I've spent on that land. I'm collecting that from you now." And Levi says, and the gunner says, Reuven says, I don't have it. "Well, give it to me from, give me properties instead." He says, "Well, I have no properties, but I've sold them." Ah. Those sold properties, Nechosim Shabodim, Levi can go and collect his $1 million from that, from those properties that Reuven has sold. But Levi also wants to get back the $200,000 worth of fruits that are on it. So he goes to, he asks for that as well. He says, "I want the value of the fruits because I lost two things. I lost the money that I put onto this field. I had to give back the field to the original owner that you stole it from him. And I have to give up also the fruits that were on it. They also went to the owner. So now I'm asking you for the fruits, $200,000. He says, Reuven, the governor, says, "Don't have money, can't give it back to you. "But you've got land, haven't you?" "No, I've sold my land." "Ah," says the Mishnah, "he can't collect from that. For the fruits, that's what we mean by achilas haperos, for the fruits that Levi is demanding back from the ganav, that he can only collect from b'nei chorin, from freehold properties." And there's a reason, we'll soon say why. Why? Second thing we said was shevach karkois, the improvement on the land. This means if a buyer, the buyer had improved the land with plants or fertilized it, and the nigzel, the person, the original owner of the land, Shimon, he comes and takes the land from him. So he's now collecting. He's collecting the Levi wants to collect the improvement in the land that took place, and he goes back and he says to the gazlan, "Hey, I improved the land as well, so I want to get that back." That can also only be obtained or reimbursed from the ganav, from nechosim b'nei chorin, only from freehold properties. Furthermore, food or supplying food for a wife or girls or the bonos, this is where the husband died, where the father has died of the girls. So one of the conditions of uksuba is that a widow is entitled to be fed and to be sustained from the properties of the husband till she gets remarried or claims uksuba. And similarly, her daughters or his daughters should be able to get from the properties, should be able to get sustained until they get married. When they come to collect their mezonos, their money, the money for their food, that money can again only be claimed from b'nei chorin. from properties that are freehold, unencumbered, and not sold, but not from properties that he's already sold to other people, that the husband had sold to other people. And why? Mipnei tikkun ha'olam. This is a remedy for the society, because these things are things which are unlimited in nature, unquantified. You can't quantify it. And therefore, when a person comes to buy a field from his friend, there's no way you would know how much to leave to cover such things, because it's an unknown quantity. So normally when you buy something from someone, you're always afraid, oh, maybe this is mortgaged or something. But if it's something that's unlimited, people don't know how much to be aware from that. So the Chachamim came along and they said that these type of payments, which are unlimited in nature, unknown, they can only be collected from B'nai Chayrin, from properties which have not been sold. And finally, another takana for Tikkun Olam, which is of a different nature, V'hamoitze Metzio, one who finds a lost article and wants to return it to the owner. And the owner is saying, hey, there was more than that in the wallet. There was $1,000 in the wallet. Now you've only given me a wallet with $500. And the buyer and the finder says, that's all I found. Lo yishava. The Chacham said he does not have to swear to take an oath to support the fact that he's returning whatever he found and he didn't pocket anything for himself. Why? Again, mipnei tikkun olam, in order to make a remedy for the society, a tikkun for the olam. Because if you require people who find a lost articles, if you require them to swear that that's all they found, the people will say, well, I'm not going to bother returning this article if they're going to put me through to that. So therefore, they said, if finders of articles do not have to swear that this is all they found and they didn't find any more than that. Mishnah Dalet. Yisoimim she'samcho etzel balabais. You have orphans who relied on the opinion of a certain person to administer their affairs, to take care of them, to give them advice and to help them, even though they weren't appointed as an apotropos, as a guardian, but effectively they have the same din as a guardian. Oishimino lehenavin, or one maybe an administrator that their father had appointed before he died. Apotropos is a man that is taking care of the properties of the orphans. All of these chayev la'ase persein, a chayev to obligated to take maaser, to take a tithe of the fruits that belong to the Yisoimim. Truma to give to the Kohen and maasers to give to the Levi. And this is in order that the Yisoimim, that the orphans, will not be eating something that's osur. If they're the administrators or they're the balabais that are in charge, they have to take care of the orphans by providing that the food is properly tithed. Apotropos sheminahu avi yisomim. Any apotropos that's been appointed, a guardian that's been appointed by the father of the orphans, yeshava, before he died, yeshava, he has to swear when the orphans grow up and the guardian gives them an account of what he's done and what he's spent on and what's left in the Yerusha, the guardian has to swear that he didn't embezzle anything, that he didn't take anything from himself. This shvur again is a type of shvur. It's on a tainus sofik, as we call it. No one's sure if he stole or he did anything. It's just a precautionary measure to ensure that he's kept honest. But he has to swear. However, you know, based in, an apotropos, a guardian or administrator that was appointed by the based in, lo yishava, doesn't have to swear. Why? Because an apotropos, he's taking care of the orphans because based in gave him the task to do it. He gets no benefit out of it, so therefore he doesn't have to swear. If you make him give a swear, if you make him give an oath at the end of the day, when he has to give an account of everything, he might not want to take upon himself in the first place the job of being the executor or the guardian. Abishol Emir Chiluf Advarim. He says it's exactly the opposite. He said if the father of the orphans appointed him, he doesn't have to swear. Why? Because he only became an apotropos to do a favor for the father. And if you appoint him if you make him give a shvur, then you won't want to do the job. Why should I do a favor for that man if I'm going to have to give an oath at the end of the day to support the fact that I didn't embezzle anything? But if the based in appointed a person, then he should swear. Why? Because based in appointing someone as an apotropos, as a guardian, gives that guardian a certain status. It makes him choshev. People know that you can trust him now. He's an honorary trustee. And people he gets something out of this. And therefore, even if you make him swear at the end of the day that he didn't steal anything or embezzle anything, he still wouldn't shy away of that appointment. He'll be quite happy to take it because it's good PR for him. Hamatame, a person who makes things of his friend Tome. He takes truma and he makes a tome. Hamadame, a person who mixes truma with chulin of his friend, which causes a loss, because now the only one who can eat it is a kohen, right? Truma is only edible by kohen. And if truma is mixed with chulin and it's not bottled in the chulin, then the only one who can have it is the kohen, and you have to sell it to the kohen, and of course there's a cheaper price. Truma was always cheaper than chulin. Chulin is available, has a greater demand for that because everyone can eat it. It doesn't matter if it becomes tamei, etc. Vavanasech, or if a person pours yain nasech into the mixes with yain nasech, which is absolutely asur, wine that's been poured for idolatry, and he mixes it with the other wine of his friend, making everything asur bana. Now, in all these cases, he's done a damage which is not physically seen. It's called a hazik she'ena nikar. No one can see that it's tame. No one can see that truma is here in the mixture of chul. It looks like all the same. It's the same wheat. Similarly, pouring out, mixing yain nasach with ordinary wine, who would know? I mean, it's hazik she'ena nikar. If it's done b'shogeg, says the Mishnah, if it's done by accident, for example, a person thought, no, nothing wrong with being metame, the fruit of the taras of my friend, or nothing wrong with pouring out wine, didn't know it was wine, yain nasach. In all these cases, then he's potter from paying the damage. But mazid, if he did such an act, mazid, he made him pure, he contaminated the taras, the trum of his friend on purpose, etc., all the other cases that he did on purpose, chayev. Then he's obligated to pay for the damage caused. The Gemara explains that even if he did it on purpose by b'mezid, he's only chayv to do it. He's not chayv to do it minadin, strictly speaking, because nothing's changed. It's called hezek she'ena nikar. It's a hezek that's not physically, visibly evident. You can't see it. But the Chachamim imposed a obligation to pay because of tikkun olam. Otherwise, people go around being metame, the taras of one's friend, or medameya, or mixing together truma with chulin of his friend, and he can cause quite a loss. And he'll say, "I'm potter. Look at me. You can't tell any difference." So to stop this happening, they said chayev. He is chayev to pay. And finally, ha-koyanim shepiglu ba-mikdosh. If you have koyanim that made an animal or a korban pigel means unfit, what do? They shechted the korban, or they collected the blood, or they took the blood over to the mizbech, or they sprinkled it. Any of these four important steps of any korban, they did it with the thought process that they're going to eat from it or burn it outside the right time. And by having that machshava in mind, they ruin the korban. The korban is absolutely unusable. They pustle the korban with that thought. Now, if they did it nastily, b'mezidin, if they did it on purpose, they knew that the korban's going to be pustled by their thoughts, and they dafka did it, then chayovin. They have to pay for the value of the korban to the owners. Why? Because the owners have to bring another korban. And even if the korban offered was a nadava, was a free will, was a donation by the owner. And therefore, they're not obligated to bring another carbon. Doesn't matter. The damage is still there because the owners feel deprived of the fact that they wanted to give this gift to Hashem, and now look what's happened.